I wanted to tell you about an elderly lady, and it's not me. She was well known for her faith and for her boldness in really talking about it. I'm going to move this a little bit here. That's okay. She would stand on her front porch, and she would shout, "Praise the Lord!" Well, next door to her lived an atheist who would get so angry at her. I mean, this guy did not like God at all, didn't believe in him at all. And every time she shouted, he would get angry. And he would shout back, "There ain't no God." Well, hard times had set in for the elderly lady, and she prayed for God to send her some assistance. So she stood on her porch, and she shouted, "Praise the Lord! God, I need food. I'm having a hard time. Please send me some groceries." Well, the next morning, the lady went out on her porch, and she seen a large bag of groceries. And she shouted, "Praise the Lord!" Well, the neighbor jumped out from behind the bush and said, "Ha ha, I told you there was no Lord. I bought those groceries. God didn't." And the lady started jumping and shouting and clapping her hands and shouted, "Praise the Lord again." She said, "He not only sent me groceries, he made the devil pay for them." Praise the Lord. I think we better pray after that. Okay, so, Lord, we do love you, and we thank you that we can laugh and we can have a good time and be in your house, Lord. And we just praise your holy name that we can rejoice with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." As brothers and sisters in Christ, our first purpose in life is to worship God. Worship is our response to God's love. Worship is giving back to God. Worship is focusing our attention on Him. Psalm 139, 1 to 3, and I'm going to have a lot of scriptures through here, so if you want to write them down, look it up, and check me out for what I'm saying. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and you know my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. In the English version, it says it this way. You have looked deep into my heart, Lord, and you know all about me. You know when I'm resting and when I'm working. You notice everything I do and everywhere I go. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. In the Message it says, Romans 8:7, focusing on yourself is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God and ends up thinking more about self than God. The word challenges us to look to Jesus. The Bible teaches you were created for God's enjoyment, for His pleasure. God planned you for His purpose. Today I want to show you that God wants you to love Him back as much as He loves you, because He loves you very much. Matthew 22 teaches this is the first and greatest commandment. God says, I made you to love you, and I know you, and I want to know you to know me and love me back. Worship is knowing and loving God back. It's our primary objective. It's our highest priority. It's our number one purpose in life. So what does worship look like? Is it prayer, singing, communion, giving to the church? Romans 12, 1 says, because of God's great mercy to us, offer yourselves as living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship you should offer. Worship is our response to God's love. Worship is the way I react, that I respond when God loves me. God takes the initiative. He loved us first, and that while we were yet sinners. God is love. God always makes the first move. He creates us. He saves us. He forgives us. He blesses us. He protects us. And as a result, we worship. We offer. That's the word, a word that describes worship. Whenever you give back to God, whenever you offer anything to God, that's called worship. And that brings pleasure to him. When we are grateful to our Heavenly Father, that brings the pleasure to him. So what do you give God? I mean, what do I offer? He has everything, right? He has everything. Well, you give him your love. That's what you give him. Mark 12, 30 says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And this is the first commandment. God wants me to love him in three ways. First, thoughtfully. Love him with your mind. Think it through. Don't just do it without thinking. Think about his love. Think about his goodness, his mercy, his grace. That's how we brought it through. Think about it. Love him thoughtfully. Love him passionately, emotionally, with all your heart and all your soul. He passionately loves us, and he wants us to passionately love him. So thoughtfully, passionately, and third, practically, or fervently, with all our strength, with all our abilities. God wants your attention. He wants your affection. And he wants your ability. Whenever you take things God has given to you and you give them back to God, that's the heart of worship. The greatest expression of our love is often displayed by our attention. Do you remember the first time you fell in love? I mean, for some of us, that's been a while ago. But when you first fell in love, I mean, you couldn't get that person off of your mind. You just kept thinking and thinking about them and wanting to be in contact and talking to them and just being there constantly. God's love is focused on us like that. Again, I want to read Psalms 139, and I'll read it in English again. You have looked deep into my heart, Lord, and you know all about me. You know when I'm resting or when I'm working. You notice everything I do and everywhere I go. We have to choose to focus on things But, you know, I think today we get so easily distracted. We're distracted because we're self-centered by nature. And again, Romans 8, 7, focusing on yourself is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God and ends up thinking more about self than God. By nature, we're just self-centered. And we're distracted because we're self-centered by culture. By culture. Romans 12, 2. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it even without thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. So how do we focus our attention on God? First, establish a quiet time. A daily time with God. Daily. Matthew 6, 6 says, find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play. In the King James, he says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father sees in secret, will reward openly. So you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there, simply, honestly, as you can manage, and so your focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. So establish a quiet time. And second, develop a constant conversation with him, with God. Psalm 105, 4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. That means worship him continually. Continually. Isaiah 26, 3 says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. So worship is expressing our attention and our affection to God. 1 John 4, 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. He first loved us. You tell God you love him. He said it first. He took away the risk. Hosea 6:6 says, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. He's saying, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your burnt offerings. I want you to know me. God wants you to know him and to love him. Romans 6:13, give yourselves completely to God since you have been given new life. He doesn't want ritual, people, or religion, or rules and regulations. That's not what he wants. What he wants is a relationship with you. Mark 7, 6, Jesus says, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. The greatest way to express your love to God is by giving your life to him, by yielding yourself to him, by getting him those few inches from your head to your heart. As one brother reminded me after the last sermon I preached. That's the essence of love. I give you my life. I surrender myself to you. I am committing myself to you. Today's world, that's not what we're doing. We're going the opposite way. Remember, it's always a response to God. God gave us life. He says, I want you to give yourself completely back to me. So what holds us back? Why can't we do that? Fear? Is it fear? You're scared to death? You're afraid he's going to turn you into some religious nutcase? You'll become a fanatic like the lady we talked about at first? You're afraid you're going to stand on the porch and yell, "Praise the Lord!" God doesn't want to turn you into some goofball. He made you to be you, just the way you are. God loves you the way you are. That's why he made you that way. We're all different, every one of us. That's the way he made us. Some of you might think, well, I don't love God enough. But that's not your problem. Your problem is you don't realize how much God loves you. If you really knew how much God loves you and cares about every detail of your life, you'd throw yourself at him. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. Worship is always a response. Worship is using our attention, our affection, and our abilities for God. And that's the practical expression of worship and love. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as though you were working for the Lord and not for people. Now, if you get this verse, it will absolutely change your life. And I'm going to say it again. Colossians 3:23. Mark it down or get it in your mind. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as though you were working for the Lord and not people. It helps you to understand that in order to worship God, you don't have to change jobs. You just change who you're working for. When you change who you're working for, your work becomes worship. Do you ever think about that? Your everyday job. Many of you kind of, I can't even say that word. You divide. You section off your life. You know, this part is for Sunday mornings, and this is what I'm going to do, and the rest of the time is mine, and I'll do what I want to do. God says, I want you to invite me into every part of your life. Not just a fourth part of your heart. The whole heart. I want to be involved in all of it, not just Sunday mornings. Your everyday life. Right? When I was thinking about this, I thought about Revelation 3, when Jesus was talking to the church in Laodicea. Verses 15 and 16, he said, I know your deeds and that you're neither hot nor cold. And then in verse 16, he said, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, we do some good. I will spit you out of my mouth. Neither hot or cold. We're just kind of here. This is what we do Sunday mornings and we go and that's it. You need to get this truth. In life, it's not what you do that matters. It's who you do it for. You give it all to God. All of your work, all of your work, everything you do can be done as worship. I don't care if you're a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker. You can do it for God. I'm going to do this as if I'm doing it for you, Lord. It really doesn't matter what you do for work. It's who you do it for. It's how we do it in our family. This turns your work into worship. God doesn't want worship to be just a church thing. He wants it to be your whole life, to worship God with your life. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It means take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around in life, and place it before God as an offering. And there's that word again, offering. Offer is the essence of worship. I am offering my life to you. This is where the rubber meets the road, when we give it all to him. Real, purposeful living doesn't happen in a church. It doesn't even happen in a small group or your quiet time, which are all very important. It happens in the ordinary, mundane, routine things of life, our everyday things of life, wherever you go. Whatever I'm doing, I'm going to do it for you, Lord. When you do that, your whole life becomes an act of worship. Real worship is a lifestyle. It's letting your light shine. Plugged in, where's my girl? Plugged in and turned on. Plugged in and turned on, both. I want to close by asking you a question. What are you worshiping? It's whatever you're giving your primary attention to. It's whatever you're giving your primary affection to. And it's whatever you're giving your primary abilities to. You may be worshiping your career. You may be worshiping making money or retirement or pleasure or another person. The greatest temptation of your life and the worst sin that you could possibly commit is the temptation to worship something other than God. Whenever you love something more than God. And when that happens, you're going to have chaos. You're going to have conflict and stress and problems in your life. I want to challenge you to make as the number one goal in your life, before anything else, getting to know, and that's through the Bible, getting to know and to love God, because that brings him pleasure. And you were planned for his pleasure. Would you pray with me, please?